Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14. This is a parable. Jesus used parables, stories, to communicate spiritual lessons. Amen. And this is a parable that I want us to look at for a few minutes here tonight. Luke 14 and verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring them in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. Now, we've told you some of our experiences in New York. We've been in a lot of church services. As I mentioned Sunday, we have been in 24 services or sessions during the conference in those 2 weeks' time. We heard a lot of things in 2 weeks. We weren't laying out a church, I'm telling you. We were hearing a lot of things in that 2 week period. Everywhere we went, though, there were big crowds of people. When we went into the Times Square church, we were there really early, probably maybe 40 minutes early or so. And it wasn't full. We easily found a seat and sat down and waited for the service to begin. And in that next 40 minutes, people just started filtering in. More and more and more. And when the service started, we were shoulder to shoulder with people. The place was filled. It was filled. At the time, the 3 days that we were over, which was on a completely another part of New York City in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, every time we were there, it was filled up. It was filled. A young man that we knew, actually, who is the bass player for the Brooklyn Tabernacle, we know his family. And so he showed us around the building and took us up into the balcony areas and showed us all. And he said, this building will seat 2,980 people. That's a pretty big building. That's a lot of seats. 2,980. But what's so interesting is that they have a 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and a 1 o'clock service. And they're all filled. And sometimes they're at capacity and have to shut the door as people wanting to get in are lined around the building. And then we went out to Neosho to the Bible school, and it was packed. And those services were filled. And as we were driving back, this scripture came to my mind. That my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. And we can come up with all the different reasons why. We could say, well, those churches in New York are filled just because they're famous and people come from all over the world there to those churches. For whatever reason, they're filled to capacity. Filled to capacity. And this scripture says in this parable that The master of the house said, "That my house be filled. Go out and compel them to come in. Go into the streets and the lanes. Go into the highways and the hedges, so that my house would be filled." Now, I want us to look at this just a minute and just ask ourselves this question. Lord, if it was your will to fill the house, is it your will right now to fill up this house with people seeking after God? Now, I have the drawing that was provided for us when the church furniture company brought the pews in here and put them up. I have the drawing that tells you how many people you can seat in the pews. 418 people can sit on the floor level. And you can put, if you chair out the balcony area and maybe put a few more up here on the platform, probably at least 550 people that we could get in here. That's a lot of people, maybe more than that. That my house might be filled. I want you to notice this parable. He made a great supper. It was a banquet. He made this great banquet. You know that if a monarch or a king would make a banquet, that banquet was prepared, it was planned, and the food would have been extraordinary. It wasn't normal food that people would eat all the time. But when you would go to the king's banquet that was prepared, it would be really food that was rare to the common person. It would be something that they would eat that they probably had never eaten before, or very rarely had been able to eat. Do you know that the Lord wants us to prepare, and He wants to prepare a banquet right here every time we gather together? Amen. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, God wants to prepare a banquet. Something that the world can't get out there. Something that they can receive when they come here that they can't get anywhere else. That's the kind of banquet. And we're co-laborers with Christ, and so we have a part to play in the preparing of this banquet also. We have a part as well that we're responsible. You see, because there are people, as different ones like Steve and others have mentioned here tonight, that they're out there, they're needy, they're poor, they're hungry, they're desperate. They don't even know for sure what they need, but they just know they need something. Our responsibility is to be a co-laborer with Christ. And while He's the Lord of the banquet, and He's the one that supplies the wonderful provision of His Spirit and the wonderful provision of His Word, the presence of God that can fill up this place and make a normal building into a sanctuary. Praise God for that. Amen. But it's as we determine, and we are co-laborers with Him, the banquet maker. We are to help prepare the banquet. And how do we do that? Well, we're starting to do that. We're praying a lot more than we were, because through prayer we can create an atmosphere of the presence of the Lord every time we come here. Through prayer we invite Him to come and to be in control of the church services. As we pray, we're asking Him, "Lord, would You prepare a table for everyone that comes into this building, Lord, and satisfy the needs of their life right here at this banqueting table." Praise God. So as we pray, as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, as this place is filled up with the joy of the Lord, as this place is filled up with love, and we have love for our brothers and sisters, and we love all of those that come in outside of this building, and they come in here, and we love them, and we care for them, and we minister to them, and we pray for them, and we create an atmosphere where they can receive help in the presence of the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Praise God. He brought me to the banqueting table. His banner over me was love. Now the banner was the flag. It was the flag of the king or the flag of the nation. And wherever that flag was hanging and flying, then that meant that if there was a flag at that banquet, it meant that all the people that were there were under the protection of that flag. Everyone that was there, they had the wonderful benefit of being under the power and the authority of that one that was the king or the monarch or whoever he was, the one that was preparing and providing the banquet. And that's what the Song of Solomon is saying. He's prepared a banquet for me. And his banner over me is love. He reminds us that what is needed here in this location is his banner to be flying. The banner of love, the banner of truth, the banner of his spirit flying over this place. And every time that we come together, there's such a wonderful presence of God here that people that come in that are desperate and needy and hungry for help in their life, they find help in the presence of the Lord. Amen. When I'm on this platform and I look out and I see people wiping tears and I see visitors and I can tell they're visibly moved by what's going on in that service, I just say, praise God. God's doing some things that I can't do and none of us individually can do, but by his Spirit, he's here in this place. Amen. And he prepares a banqueting table for us all to come in and to receive what we could never, ever receive out there in the world. Amen. That's what sets us apart as a church. And this is no reflection on any other church, because every local church is responsible to God for themselves, but we're responsible for us right here. We're responsible to call upon the Lord, to seek the Lord, to invite his presence and to welcome his presence here. We're responsible that this place be a place where God is honored and he is worshiped and his word is exalted in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that the needy, the wayfarer, the stranger, that he can come in and he can find help at the banqueting table. And we have a responsibility. The Bible says in this story, this parable, the great banquet was provided, it was prepared. But there were those, and I know this is speaking primarily to the Jewish nation. They all with one consent, they all decided together, here's how we're just going to make up some excuses. Because we're not interested in the banquet. We're just going to make up excuses. And that's what they did. It says they all with one consent, they all talked it over and all agreed, we're just going to excuse ourselves from this invitation. And that's what happened. The Bible says, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. You can see it's obvious that they're just excuses. Only a foolish man would go out and buy a parcel of land and never had even looked at it. Never even visited the property and looked it over. And so his excuse was, I bought some land, I'm going to have to go see it, check it out. Bad excuse, bad excuse. Another said, I've bought some 5 yoke of oxen, I have to go and prove them. No farmer's going to do that. He's going to prove them before he buys them. All of them are making excuses, and Jesus was dealing with this Jewish nation that was hardened toward the gospel and toward the things of God. And the other said, well, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I mean, he didn't even really make an excuse. He just said, I got married and I can't come. There's no way. It's obvious why I can't come. I married a wife. Well, I've heard a preacher preach on this text one time and he called it two fools and a henpecked husband. That was his title. I'm not using that tonight. Two fools and a henpecked husband. He said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. They all made excuses. Do you even understand that there are a lot of people out there, they are not spiritually hungry. They don't see their need for God at all. They're disinterested in spiritual things. I know there are a lot out there that are hungry and they are needy, but there are some that you're going to come across that they are hardened, they're resistant, they won't respond to the things of the Lord. They won't respond to the banquet that's being provided by the Lord for them. They're hard. What can we do about that? What can we do about the resistant and the hard-hearted and those that reject the invitation of the Lord? Is there anything that we can do? Absolutely, there is. We know there is. Absolutely. That person that's hard and resistant and won't listen to the voice of the Lord and won't respond to the invitation that God has sent to them, can anything be done? Yes, there's plenty that can be done. Because their heart is like ground that's untouched. It's like hardened ground that's been untouched. And so something has to happen. First of all, there has to be some rain on that hard ground. So begin to pray, Lord, they're hard. They don't think they need you. They don't think they have any interest in spiritual things. I just don't see how they could ever be reached. Pray for the rain, for the early rain. The early rain was the rain that was kind of a slow soaking rain. And it just soaked into that ground, that hardened ground, and eventually it becomes so soft that they could get their plow out there and they could break it up. Glory to God. Pray for the rain of the Spirit of God. It doesn't just fall in this building. The Spirit of God can rain on them wherever they are, at their house, in their bed, on their job, whatever they're doing. Pray, Lord, rain upon them. Let that early rain, that soft rain, just fall upon their heart and soften their old hard heart that resists and rejects the Lord. You know that today that there are 1.6 million Jews that have converted to Jesus Christ. Praise God. 1.6 million Jews. You know that there's something like 40 evangelical churches now in Israel? And God is on the move. There are missionaries there. As a matter of fact, we heard a missionary at Times Square Church. The pastor didn't preach, and I was disappointed, but we heard a missionary who has a church in Jerusalem who spoke. And some of these statistics I got from him that day that reveal the fact that there are a lot of these Jews that have been resistant and hardened, that now God's breaking through to them. And they're putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And they are coming to the Lord. Amen. What can we do about the spiritually hard and disinterested? We pray for them that the undisturbed ground would be rained upon by the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would begin to speak to them and begin to convict them and begin to deal with their heart and bring them to that place that finally the ground can be broken up and the seed of the gospel can be planted. And once it's planted, it'll start bringing forth fruit. Amen. That the seeds of the gospel can be sown in their heart. And then we just wait. We just wait for God to move. Amen. Let's pray and believe the Lord. So there were all of those who made excuse. But the scripture says, servants came and showed the Lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly. Go out quickly. We've only got a certain time frame. We've only got a certain opportunity. I believe that the Lord is right now working and moving among us. He's stirring us up to prayer. He's stirring us up to the work of the Holy Spirit, to the move of the Holy Spirit. He wants to prepare a banquet here so that the hungry and the needy and those that are longing for something real, a real touch from God, that they can come in and they can find help in the presence of the Lord. So there's an urgency that we need to have. He said, go out quickly. There's an urgency. There's a window of opportunity that the Lord wants to give to us. That's why we should pray for our country and we should pray for our region here. The region. Do you know that when you think about people coming to our church, we need to be reminded of the fact that if there's a move of God, if there's a table spread here, if God is really working and moving here, folks will drive a long ways to find it. They will. If they're hungry, they'll drive a long ways. If there's a move of God here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, if God is working and a table is spread here for them at this place, they will drive a long ways. So we're not just reaching out to just those that live right here around the church. No, we need to pray for our region, this whole region that we live in right now. I'm talking about 20 miles, 25-mile radius, 30-mile radius. Amen. We need to pray, Lord, get a hold of the hearts of those and deal with their hearts, and we need to go after them. Go after them in whatever ways that we can and believe that God is going to bring them in. The hungry, those that are hungering and thirsting for spiritual things. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. All of these that were descriptive of people that were so needy, so needy. People's needs drive them to God. When everything is going along okay, they don't have much interest in the things of God. But when they have a need, when they're really up against it, when they're going through something, they've lost their job, or there's trouble in the home, or there's health problems, or whatever that it might be, God allows these things to come their way. I'm not saying He's the one that puts sickness on people. I'm just saying God allows things to happen in the lives of people for them to wake up and realize, I need God. I need help. I need help from the Lord. And I pray that they'll realize I need to get down into that Pentecostal church on South Main Street. Maybe I can get help there. And those of us that are here, we need to be seeking God and praying and asking the Lord, help us every time we come together, Lord, that there would be a banqueting table set, that the hungering and the thirsting with spiritual needs will come in and they can get fed right here in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. The servant said, Lord, it's done. We've done that. It's done. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out in the highways, the hedges. Go out further. Go out further. Don't limit what God can do and how far reaching the gospel can reach. The hedges, the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in. It's a really strong word. The word compel. It's a strong word. It's a word of urgency. Talk to people and give to them the urgency. Help them to see the urgency of the time, of the hour that we are living in right now. We need to be reminded of the fact that God wants to save the lost more than we want them to be saved. More than they even want to find God themselves. God wants to reach them, and He's made a provision. This is a wonderful parable that reminds us of the fact that He said, go out, just keep going out, go out further, go out further, go out on the highways and the hedges, compel them, urge them to come, press them to come, that my house may be filled, that my house might be filled. Now, the Lord has provided for us here a wonderful facility and building. We're thankful for it. We praise God for it. And I know that it's the provision of the Lord. And it's his will that it be filled. Amen. That my house may be filled. Let me tell you what, if this Sunday morning there were 418 people trying to get a seat in the pews here, you would not be very comfortable. You would be shoulder to shoulder. You wouldn't be all that comfortable, but praise God. God can do that. God can work. God can move. The answer is a banqueting table being prepared. Amen. Amen. I know the primary responsibility of this. We know that God is the one that provides. He's the Lord of the banquet. He's the one that bids us to come and to invite them to come. But we have a part to play too. We have a part to play to seek God, to worship God, to enter into His presence and His Spirit, and to make sure that everyone that walks in those doors, no matter how far from God they might be, I mean, they might smell bad, they might look bad, they may have all kinds of issues, it might even be repulsive to you, but God so loved them. He so loves them that He wants to provide a banqueting table for them. Every one of them. Praise God. Glory to God. Let's believe God. Let's believe God to fill this house. I was going to preach on this Sunday night. And every day this week, here walking around this sanctuary, I have been praying, Lord, fill that pew, fill that pew, fill that pew. Fill that pew, fill that pew, fill every one of them up with people that need God. Not so that we can, you know, say, wow, we're doing it. We're really getting the job done. We're really, aren't we wonderful? No, no, no. That can't be our motivation. Our motivation has to be because they're out there. They're hungry. They're desperate. They're needy. And they are our responsibility. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this parable. Lord, I praise you for the privilege we have to be in this place. And I ask you, Lord, start filling up this building. Start this weekend, Lord. And help us, Lord, to reach out to them with an urgency, to invite them, to welcome them, to bring them, Lord, to this place. And Lord, as the church, as the people of God, help us to prepare a banquet so that when they come, they can get something here that they can't get anywhere else. They can get something here in the presence of God that they can't find anywhere else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.